They teach us that birth needs medical intervention, that labor hurts, so we wonder why we should go through pain to welcome our baby into the world. Then we hear about obstetric violence that leaves us with a bitter taste, birth experience, and a feeling that there must be more to birth. I hear all of this, and I believe with all my heart that another reality is possible. That as women, we all have the keys inside us to birth our babies and their placentas. My name is Mags, and with my husband Keith, we are the Quantic Family. Every week, I get the privilege to sit with passionate people that speak to us authentically about birth and the quantic energy around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. My intention is to diffuse their messages to allow you to make enlightened choices that truly resonate with who you are. I see this podcast as a caring and intimate place where you can allow yourself to be who you truly are and reconnect to the power within you to accompany your baby on his journey. I also wish for your partner to find his place in the middle of this transformational process so that together you become the strong foundation of your family. I truly believe that along we go faster, but together we go further. So join us. Together, let's come out of the belief system created by our society and reconnect with our intuition. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic. What a pleasure to be back with you in this new year 2021. My name is Mags, and I hope you are ready to launch this new year's journey towards your true and authentic self. I've prepared for you fantastic episodes with passionate people, and surprises are to come along. I am still passionate about birth and the quantic around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Before I leave you with today's episodes, I am so happy to tell you that Keith and I, the Quantic Family, we've prepared for you a series of three free videos to involve your partner in making childbirth an enhanced, positive, and transformational experience. You will find the link to this series underneath the podcast episode, and you can also find it in our link tree on Instagram and Facebook. Each birth is unique. Make yours be truly authentic. Hello, 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 and welcome to the podcast Authentic Birth. My name is Mags, and you can find me as the Quantic Family on Instagram. I am really honored to be with Lourdes Lorente. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Today, thank you for saying yes to this episode. Lourdes, you're a doula. You're a breathwork professional. You had the calling 8 years ago to want to support women, families, and just life in general while you were going through a tricky moment of your life.
Yep.
You have a daughter that is 3 years old.
I do. I'm blessed.
And you feel the most alive when you accompany people going through big transformation events, while guiding them to find their own space for their own inner peace and connection.
Yep.
You also feel a huge responsibility for us to nurture women in a spiritual and emotional
approach, and you've done a lot of work with rebirthing worlds that allow you to realize how important it is that we heal our own births, and how birth in general is essential for the humans we then are and become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the foundations of peace on earth if we do that.
Amazing. You also find connection and resonate really well with ancient wisdom, with indigenous community, especially in the field of midwifery.
Mm-hmm.
You're a placenta lover and a placenta keeper.
Okay. We share that.
We absolutely share that. And you are at the minute working to organize and coordinate the Mujeres Bachue Colombian based institution that are promoting well-being and well-informed choices for women and family in their life processes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Mangali. Thank you for the introduction.
I am so, so happy that you're here. And with you, I would love that we start this podcast talking about something you mentioned, and I didn't really fully see the link, but of course now I see it, to empowering our birth experiences, the importance of reconnecting to our fluids, blood, sexual waters. Wow.
Yes, so this was also a revolution for me when I hear it, and I'm still integrating as well. And it comes from, well, I've supported many births over the last 8 years, and I see a common denominator in many women that is like many of them are scared of their fluids, the amniotic fluid when it falls, the blood that comes and is the blood of life in birth as well, as well we are menstruating. And also it's very unknown to us in our own sexual journey, the sexual fluids that comes after, or while we are in intimacy with another human being, right? So for me, it was like, I remember exactly one birth when a woman was like, please, can't you clean me that? There's something falling out of my legs. And for me, it was like, well, that's your blood. And it was, and I know it takes a while because obviously it's decolonizing the way we've been told those fluids were. And I think in Western world comes as well from diving deeper into biology, like what's inside our blood? What are all these blood cell stems that are in our menstrual blood every month? And also, yeah, for example, the, I don't know in English, it's like amnioplagia? I'm getting confused with the word. It's like when it's been demonstrated by science that when you try your amniotic fluid, then it can boost, it can, you know, make labor going if in case the contraction stops or labor is not, you know, and is in a latent phase. So for me, it's crucial that we, because if we started to weave this idea in spiral, it means that we need to start with what we were told on our first menstrual bleeding, right? Like the first moon. I don't like to call it like that. It's like
just a question, because I am really interested in what you just said. So you said drinking the amniotic liquid can support the activation of the giving birth process.
Yes, and if you look at mammals, like I've seen my cats, two of my cats, I was blessed, and they were, birthing on top of me, and I could see then how they were leaking, and you know, it's like, I think obviously I'm not great at scientific, you know, explanation, because I'm not a scientist. But for me, it's understanding the wisdom, the information that is there in those fluids, and also that they have been venerated in many cultures. But the thing is, like, it's not in the Western culture we the most majority of us reach. But I know, yeah, if you start digging, then there's so much information, even Mujeres Bachue, right? If you go to one of the workshops about blood, I mean, womb care, and how they honor blood, not just from this fashionable way that we have now, no? That it seems like everybody needs to... for me, it took a while to connect with my blood, to be honest. It took me a while. At the beginning, when I was doing these circles, women's circles, and we were doing the obsidian cleansing with, you know, with the egg, the obsidiana. We were doing all these different things, and I was trying to be really honest with myself. I think that's the key, to be honest, and say, okay, well, I don't know. There's something in the blood that doesn't really feel right at the moment. And it might be because of what we heard. Many times is what we heard. And that we needed to hide the blood, we needed to, or I believe also nowadays there is this fashion of like honoring blood, but from a really new agey way, without really understanding the information that is there for us and for Mother Earth.
For me, the blood, from what how I can see, is that if we look on the very masculine way, a man who loses blood is about to die.
Yep.
So I feel there is this very strong attachment to blood means bad, because
yes,
potentially you die completely.
Well, and in
guessing that we need every month as women.
Yeah, and I think also, well, you find in sacred cultures, and you know, indigenous and non-indigenous, like there are many stories about, you know, and still nowadays, that what a woman can do or cannot do while menstruating. And I think it has to do, I think, If we kind of look it from the Western way of thinking, is more like, oh, those people are too far behind. Like, you know, like we women, we should be included. And I think if you go and really talk to the grandmothers there, they will give you the most amazing explanation energetically on why it's sacred to, you know, stay within yourself. And sometimes they were going even to, they were in these houses, right? Well, I don't remember where they have a name, where they could just, well, be left alone. And you find all kinds of different traditions. And for me, it's like, wow, there's so much confusion as well nowadays, like in myself, right? Sometimes it's just, I started to honor my blood 2 years ago, when I fully felt and knew what was I doing. And so now even every month I keep my blood, knowing exactly all my emotional, spiritual processes during that month, and when to honor back the earth with that information. Because from Mujeres Bachue, it's a foundation, an indigenous based foundation in Colombia. So I learned with Ramiro and the abuela, they have this special way to keep all the fluids with cotton wool balls, and they say it's like a hard drive or hard disk where you keep, and fluids are also tears, right? It's like how many times we hide our tears, how many times we have or sweat, and we try this, like, oh, I'm sweating, this is not good. And so they gather every single bit of fluid in the body and especially, you know, the blood, even the mucus plaque at the beginning of birth, the amniotic fluid, and everything is used to pay back Mother Earth. Sometimes it's by the river. Sometimes it's you know, they have a special order. So it's not just throwing your blood in the river. They don't do that. They do first consultations with the land, with the territory, and obviously each fluid helps and serves for a very specific purpose. For example, the blood of the sexual fluids in men and women is really helpful to manifest the biggest desire, you know, is like, because these are the two manifestation forces extraordinary that we have apart from our blood. For example, the breast milk, I remember being in France and I was away from my child and my boobs were about to explode, really. And I was like, oh, I have so much milk. What can I do? And I remember I was, you know, with Ramiro. And Ramiro, he told me, he's like, let's go by the river. And he said, but don't throw it into the water. Just on the stones above the river, right? The river shore. So it's not like here where, I don't know. I think we're learning. It's not that... For me, it's more like, let's see from a humble way, we're learning. We're learning here. We don't know how to pay back Mother Earth in the ancient ways. But it's true that we can follow that intuition. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to be, you know, I think it's knowing that there is sacred information there. And yeah.
I learned that with you. You're actually the reason why I decided now that we are going to bear the placenta. We're going to burn the placenta to keep it. And listening to you talking about the earth and talking about how much the earth needs our blood, the earth needs our placentas to continue producing water and food for us. I felt really... like selfish to keep it for me. And I just felt the call to give it back to the earth. So.
Oh, beautiful. I'm so happy. Every year there are more and more people, you know, just connecting with this. And I think it's Mother Earth will be happy. You know, she also need us. And also, by learning about the fluids mean learning about our cyclic nature, men and women. I know more my nature because I'm a woman in this lifetime, but it takes me to, you know, the connection with our blood comes from when we were a child, by watching our mothers, how they were doing it, what were they saying when, you know, when she got her moon every month, or when we got it for the first time. And if you start digging in all these stories, you see there is blame, there is like discomfort, pain, shame, all these kinds of things that even though we were just imitating what we were seeing, right? And it comes also, I think, birth and the way we surrender to the sexual energy present in birth is by looking back and saying how our sexuality was and what we were told as well, because a woman can fully embrace, I think, the energy of birth if there are some sexual emotional blockages, right? And it also depends on if they're your home, the intimacy you have, of course. But I think it's so related as well with that. So it's not just one thing. It's like a spiral, right? Of like, how was the first blood, and they speak about the four bloods. And the four bloods are related. The first blood is related to the umbilical cord blood, how that cord was cut or broken, because sometimes they break. Oh, you know, it's like just the beginning, how the first was. And it has to do with relationships, the cord. And the second blood is like the blood of when we get our moon, the first drop of blood, and how we felt back then, and how we received the information from the adult, that if it was something good or something bad, or something to be ashamed or something to celebrate. And the third blood, it has to do with the blood of birth as well, and the fourth blood is the last drop of blood when a woman, they say, like, they replace blood with sweat. So, you know, like in the, now I don't know in English how they call it, in Spanish is plenipausia or sagrada pausia, is like the menopause. And yeah, for them is such an amazing honor to reach that stage in a womanhood. So they really honor that sweat as well. And the sweat while they dance, it's kind of like the liquid gold that comes out of your body. Like, for example, that sweat when you're dancing for another one and you're really connecting your energy towards the goodness. Let's say you're dancing for your territory, for your land, for like to bring peace or whatever it is, that fluid, that sweat also has the information that you're really willing to sweat for this cause, for this purpose. And here we give it for granted, and actually we clean it and we say, oh no, I shouldn't, people shouldn't see me sweaty. Yeah, it's interesting just to think about it.
It's just amazing. It brings a completely different perspective to things. And if everything, you know, is important, our first moons, and it our sexuality, and it has a link to birth, but also, you know, to really realize that our own birth.
Totally, yeah.
It is, as you were saying, it is shaping the people we are, which is why it's such an important job to support women at this stage of their life.
Yes, for me it was crucial, and I remember exactly knowing, like, I don't have a clue what women need. I don't know. And because we're so diverse, and also, well, you know, all these different cultures and different patterns and family lineage, is like sexual stories, you know, it's so wide. But I remember thinking, I just know that I don't want to do this typical question of, is it a boy or a girl? Or is it, like, you know, all these questions that also as a first time doula you do, because, you know, you see that and it comes automatically out of your mouth. And then you learn that sometimes, like, the power of wording things, right? And especially we doulas or midwives that are in a very special position, let's say, because we can have the power or not have the power to influence in somebody's life in the wrong way.
In certain, like, moments of their life.
Yes. And it's just introducing new ideas or like colonizing their heads with family needs that are not needed in that family. And I remember something that Ramiro was saying sometimes, like, and it's necessary to talk about this doula ego that, you know, sometimes comes, or thinking like, oh, I know I know exactly what this family needs. And sometimes, yeah, intuition can tell you, can point you to towards each direction. But I think it's not forgetting that each couple or each woman or all kinds of, you know, like human relationships are really diverse. So whatever people choose, like there's enough seeds in that family, in that woman, to make herself thrive. Of course, with support, with confidence, everything, you know, it's but many people, they just do this without anybody and they're fine. So we're not essential. We're just there to support when we are needed. And for me, that was really, it was like a slap for my ego. It was more like, oh gosh, now all those questions I did and I made to, especially at the beginning for families where they were not asking for this. They were not, looking for that or ready for that. So it was introducing kind of a violence. You know, it was a violent energy entering into that field of that family, of that baby. So it's like
thinking it was coming from a positive thing where you had something that you wanted to transmit. Well, in fact, a doula role is, for me, a doula needs to have done a lot of work on herself so she doesn't bring her own ego in the picture when supporting a couple and a birth.
Yeah, that's totally. That's why it took me a while. So I finished my studies, but it took me a while to start like the really supporting, because I could see my insecurity, because I had no experience. And also I could see that, oh my gosh, like this is such an important position and I don't want to mess it up, you know, with my insecurities and ego. It takes a while. And I think Mujeres Bachué is for me, what it meant to me was this decolonization of these ideas. In the most of the doula trainings I have seen and I have done, and also decolonizing that, like, people really have those seeds in themselves to know how to get a feeling of well-being, peace, and pleasure. They talk a lot about pleasure, and pleasure understood in the wider angle, right? And it's about are you in pleasure with your own decisions? Because it doesn't matter what your doula says, what your husband says, or, you know, it's more like, and each individual, we need to ask ourselves these questions. How can I be in pleasure with the decisions I make? And if they're coming from a place of truth, or they're coming from a place of, fear or conditioning, social, cultural background, whatever it is. So it's a journey. It's a journey.
And I believe we need to, it's a journey we take together. So yes, the woman has got everything inside her to go through the birth and to be an incredible mother, to be unique and authentic in who she truly is. But it's by spending some time also with people where you can have 100% confidence with, as you were saying, you can have small talks and open up to actually become that person.
Yeah, I think, it's key. Feeling safe and not judge are keys. Like that's the biggest training, I think, for everybody, but especially in our role, is that, because nobody can open up physically or emotionally if they're feeling judged or they're feeling observed in, you know, or criticized. Or I think also one of the examples, I don't know, just trying to make people understand maybe. Like, for example, many people think like, oh, you're a doula, so you do home births, right? And there's a wide variety of doulas that only do home births, or they do both, or only hospital births, or whatever. And I remember, for example, one of my last clients, at the beginning, under her situation, I knew that home birth, I mean, my gut feeling, my womb was telling me, is like, oh, I think she's going to have a home birth. But she was not talking about home birth. She was not interested in home births. And I didn't even suggest it like that. It was only in the last meeting that we have, and we have like five or six, where she was like, I guess my last choice will be a home birth.
Wow.
And I, for me, it was just really beautiful to see that silence in myself, and just not trying, because obviously I love home births. I love it. I love the energy. I love, right? So for me, egoistically, I mean, selfishly, it's you know, I enjoy it more. The energy is more flowy for me as a professional. And for me, I thought like, this is wonderful. So she got here by herself without nobody interfering in her choices. And because you see as well many times that this push to have a home birth, sometimes it leads women towards hiding fears, saying, oh no, I know home birth is best, and everybody says so I should have a home birth, but their body and themselves, they don't feel it would be a good choice for them. So, but they were influenced by all the people around her, professionals, non-professionals, saying you should have a home birth. So that's why I think it's important, this word, like decolonizing. It's key here. And staying with books, and I think it's amazing, reading books, finding resources, evidence-based, I think it's brilliant. I've learned so much, but to be honest, when I was pregnant, I couldn't read a thing. I was like, I'm so full of in myself, like in this emotional transformation and spiritual transformation that there's no room for me anymore. But I know it was my scenario, my journey. So, yeah.
It's the importance of being open, having this openness that it's not about you. As a doula, it's just not about us.
Yep. Yeah, and that makes you so humble. I always say I love this because it makes me so humble. Really. And knowing that I'm not necessary, I mean, I can be a super nice plus, you know, in the experience. But knowing that, yeah, I'm not, that sometimes my presence is like, you know, this, how do you say, like this vaporizers? No, it's not vaporizers. When you put the essential oil, and sometimes you just, you know, like these machines that sometimes they just spread some energy, some good vibes, and people can feel it. Sometimes we're that. We're not hands on. We're just there in the corner, or we're just there just making sure the tiny one the elder brother or sister, they're safe, they're happy, so the mother can relax. So it's really, yeah, it's like, I love it because, yeah, every birth is so different, and all the needs of every family are so different, and being able to learn from them is such an honor, really. That knowing that I don't have the truth. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. You also mentioned that the hormones. Oh,
yes.
Because the hormones, I think, during puberty, suddenly they appear in our bodies and here menstruation arrive and then we get spots everywhere. So I don't think they are, and they say, yeah, well, that is all due to your hormones. Well, actually in birth, hormones become your best friends. So how can we shift?
Yeah, well, I think it comes also as well from that first drop of blood, or in the case of men or boys, is they say in the tradition, in Ramiro's tradition, is the Shahak, and it means the I am. So here we say, oh, she or he's a teenager. Oh, God, like, let's get ready for this. And in their culture, they say it's like, wow, so they're really now speaking their truth. Like, okay, let's see what these people have to say.
Wow.
So, and obviously, yeah, well, they have all kinds of plans and preparations to balance those hormones. And to, let's say, for example, if you see a boy or a girl that is getting annoyed or angry a lot, they use plant remedies. So they will use, I don't know, like lemon balm, or they use like sweet plants to make them feel relaxed. But it's more like the grandparents will say, it's like, okay, let's gather and see what you're learning. I want to hear from you. You tell me what you're learning. So they are voiced, they are heard, and to gain their confidence as well, because it's a very special moment where you no longer wish what you have learned from your parents. It's your own personal journey now. So it's really understanding that, wait a minute, like, for example, if you were listening to the same music that your parents is, like, now you totally change that and you want to break that and you want to find your own way. And that's also thanks to hormones, right? And all these, you know, like cocktail. And at birth, I always say, when women says, oh, my husband tells me, it's a typical phrase that they say, is like, oh, that I'm very hormonal and I should blame on the hormones. And for me, I always say, well, the hormones are our allies, because no, a woman fully embodying pregnancy is so sharp. It tells exactly what she feels, what she thinks. She's very direct. But sometimes it's that censorship that we do to ourselves as women, especially when pregnant, when we're supposed to be sweet and loving because we're going to be mothers and so pristine and pure, right? and so we struggle with our hormones when our hormones are saying, you have been swallowing up all this you haven't expressed, is your turn. We're here to support you. And it happens as well in our moon cycle. But it's amazing how we doubt. Hello.
Hello. Oh, broke. Again. So you were saying it's amazing how we doubt. How we doubt in our capacities.
Yes. And for me, it surprises me, really, to be honest. Because, well, it takes a while. It's just building a really honest. I think the word honesty, it's so misunderstood as well, that when you're honest, you're selfish, or when you're honest, no, when you're honest, you really, truly are feeling what is happening within you. Obviously, we know the words matter, so we're not going to blame on others. We're not gonna, right? But sometimes if it comes like that, sometimes, okay, just being humble and say, okay, well, this needed to come out for a long time. Hmm. And yeah, but these are our hormones all the time helping us just taking projects, ideas, growing babies, you know, like projecting dreams and longings. So it's hormones.
They're really allies, as you were saying, they're our best friend.
Yeah.
And it also then comes to the emotional, our emotional journey. That's also our emotions are, again, they are allies, they are our friends. And to be able to face such a transformational moment that pregnancy, birth, and postpartum is, starting this journey towards understanding our own self before is a gift.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, right? And it takes work. I mean, emotional work. So it's listening, it's stopping and saying, instead of getting entertained in the next relationship or in the next appointment, I'm just going to stop and see what was there or what is my body. Because sometimes as well, many of the callings that we have during pregnancy, I believe that it's our baby as well shifting. You know, it's like because we're sharing these two souls living in one body with their magnetic energetical fields there. So there's so much information. I remember, for example, being pregnant with Naya. And it was, for me, it was weird that all these images were coming of like glaciers and really cold weather. And, you know, I live in the south of Spain, which it was bloody hot. And it was, for me, it was, okay, I thought like, okay, maybe because I'm, you know, like it's summer and I need this, but really it was like the food, everything. There's so much information there in our field as pregnant mothers that, yeah, it's an opportunity to not to be missed, you know, and embrace fully. That's why I love encouraging women. If they want to go deeper, because there are women that they don't want to go deeper, and that's okay.
We all have our own path. And that's the beauty. That's what you were saying. Everybody do their best and have their own journey.
Yes.
And at the same time, having these information, spreading these information of reconnection to ancestral ways of doing things can support us to put a sense behind what we live, what we go through, and just understand that birth matters. It matters much more than what we realize. And I ask you to share a quote, and you said, "Peace begins in the womb."
Yeah. And that's, I find it really curious that, for example, I started as a doula, but then, I was doing reverting and I was doing different things, and now I'm really into womb care, even way before pregnancy, preconception. It's like how much time and space we dedicate to our wombs, and you know, and we put lots of, you know, moisturizer, we even, you know, take care of our breasts, our bum. This, but what about the womb? That is where our creativity is the second chakra. Well, I mean, in the around there, and where is where we just take ideas, projects, or our longings, or our family lineage information is there, and we just go to be checked once a year by somebody really treats that area as something
as a whole.
And for me it's like, I believe, like before, I thought like, oh no, we need to start way before birth or even the preconception, but I think we need to start way before now. And it's how we relate to our womb, how much we don't know anything. We don't know where it's located. We don't know the spiritual movement of the womb. We don't know, you know, like all this, how to add warm, warm it up from the inside, and the benefits, health benefits. I didn't know 2 years ago. I have no clue. I mean, I was doing my work with, you know, obsidian eggs and, you know, connecting with my menstrual blood, but really feeling and nourishing my womb. Like I'm learning now with these indigenous people, for me, it was revolutionary. It was just, and simple. And that's what I love the most. But it doesn't need to be complicated.
The simple can be back to.
Yeah. And it starts, yeah, just talking also with our grandmothers as well, right? Like how there is still wisdom in, or sometimes we think like we need to go far, far away. And sometimes that wisdom is in here too, is in Europe, is in, you know, in the Celtic culture. It's, you know, if you go to the origins, and you will see in every culture how still there is some wisdom there, and it is in the combination of of knowledge that each one finds, well, the truth, or the, you know, the will, the balance. So it's not about imitating and saying this is best than something else. It's more like, well, it's just, for me, it's reconnecting with our bodies so we can reconnect with Mother Earth too. So it's this responsibility, no matter if we're pregnant. And obviously when you're pregnant, when it's also nature is one of the best allies that we have. It's like it's an amazing healer. Yeah.
So. And all the time, but especially when you're pregnant, but all the time, just going out, spending some time just being in nature. It just has this cleaning. It brings joy.
Yeah. And that's what I always remember. I remember I met Ramiro in 2016, and when he worded this and said, like, for us, women are the representation of Mother Earth. And it's like the mountains are the breaths, yeah, you know, and the wombs are the caves. And they started to name all the body parts as well. And for me, it was just like a balm for my soul. It makes total sense. And it makes like total sense that if you look at the way that Mother Earth is treated, is the way we also treat ourselves. And you know, and for example, honoring ourselves and honoring Mother Earth, they do pagamentos, they do like offerings. But it's like, what kind of offerings do we do to ourselves as women when we are constantly giving, helping the world, you know, not to collapse, because the love and the caring that we women do, it keeps the world moving and running. And we give it for granted. We're growing humans, miracles inside of us, and we give it for granted. And even in the postpartum as well, we give it for granted. That transformational shift, we pretend is not there. And we pretend we're just fine with all that explosion of, you know, of, and chaos as well. So, yeah, for me, it was like, how am I treating myself? And when I started to see how I was treating myself as a woman, then I realized that I was in a relationship that I was allowing verbal violence for example, or that was allowing, yeah, like this connection, right? Like, so, yeah, like that's the biggest responsibility, to see that we are mirrors as well of the situation that is happening in the world. So the responsibility is not towards the outside. It's more like, hey, so what am I choosing here? Am I choosing this because, I don't know, it's a typical thing in the for many pregnant women, like, oh, or my mother-in-law or my father-in-law, they're a surgeon, so I'm going to have a cesarean because that's what they feel is safe for the baby. It's like, okay, so ask yourself the question, where is your decision based off? You know, like, are you happy with it? And because it doesn't matter, well, of course, the outcome, it matters physically, emotional, and spiritual, but it's more like, just be honest with yourself. And that makes everything smooth. And in the acceptance of like, okay, these are my choices for now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know yet, but my gut feeling, or I have this, I want to go this way. Yeah.
It just gives you strength. It gives you strength when you become a mom, that you can make your own decision for you and for your baby.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling. And it's overwhelming sometimes too, right? It's both. It's both. It's being responsible. And being responsible doesn't need to be a burden. It can be joyful too. Sometimes it takes you to vulnerable spaces. But who would we be humans without the vulnerability? You know, it's where our real power is.
And this responsibility too, for me, is also to say that at any time of your life, if you find you need to reconnect with your birth, you can.
Yeah, totally. Or even reconnect with your placenta in a placenta ceremony, right? And there was something that called me to do this rebirthing training while I was doing my doula training. And it was that I could see I was playing the victim role a lot. And I didn't know where it was exactly coming from. I remember my ex-partner saying, oh, you're such a victim. You have to work on that. And I was so enraged when he was telling me. And I knew, obviously, there was something there for me, because otherwise you don't react like that if there's nothing. And so I started to do the unraveling, you know, for myself. And I remember the moment where I was born. And I mean, because sometimes I love about rebirthing, it's a breathing. Well, it's a whole philosophy, right? But it's you reach to alter spaces of consciousness through the breathing. It can be in water, in cold water, in warm water, dry sessions, whatever. But it's like the session takes you wherever your soul and your inner child and, you know, your inner baby need. So it's not that you can prepare and say, we're going to work on your fears when you were, I mean, with regression, you can, hypnosis, you can, but not with this. And so for me, I was surprised because my mother was like, oh no, your birth was super fine. Like many mamas, they're trying to protect us and them. And so I remember feeling, I was born by general anesthetics. And so for me, this was when I felt the frustration that as my story, right? This is the story my soul chose, where I feel like I had no choice, that I was like in the womb feeling a tremendous amount of weight on top of me. I was doing the Chris Taylor, my mom doesn't remember, but I think somebody was pushing because I couldn't breathe. I was like, I can breathe. It's so heavy. I can move. I was, my eyes, my mind was awake, but my whole body was not reacting because I was going through general anesthetics too. And for me, it took me a while to integrate the experience because also, and it doesn't need to be for everybody like this. It was my experience, but it was for me the proof of how many times in my life I was anesthetized, especially intense moments in my life where when I was abused, for example, I got anesthetized, I was paralyzed. And it's a common thing also if you talk with women that went through that. But still, you know, like the first kiss, the first love making, I remember everything was blurry, not really, it was somewhere. And I wasn't fully there. And in the rebirthing, they say it's like the birth imprints, right? It's the information that was there the moment you were born. It can be during pregnancy, birth, postpartum, even conception. There's so much information there. So yeah, it was life changing to know and learn how to also honor that inner baby in us. And I think also it's really important for couples to know that. Oh dear, it went again.
No, yeah, it went a little bit. It's okay.
Okay, so now I was saying that for couples, right, I see that a lot as well, because everything is so unconscious and we tend to have normal lives where those many times as well in the couple and the men and women, right? And especially after the postpartum with that baby cries, like how your crying was heard and how much you can hold your baby's cry now that you become a parent. Love is not, it's a spiral, right? Everything is connected. So you cannot say birth has nothing to do with the fluids. You cannot say birth has nothing to do with sexuality or with our traumas as when we were children. Everything has a connection. It's all weaved together in the most amazing, perfect way so we can become the best version of who we are. And serve Mother Earth, right? Because we're here to honor her, and it's our mother.
So, and if we start from birth, we allow a journey, I believe, that will be simpler.
Yes, and it will be much simpler for the next generations also. I think that's our role. When I work also with pregnant women and families, I'm just thinking in the next generations as well.
Absolutely.
If a mother is supported and builds this honest relationship with herself, she can navigate her waters, her emotions, in a very loving way towards herself. So it doesn't matter if she's feeling fear or any kinds of intense emotion, the baby is gonna catch that energy. The baby is gonna
confidence
float in those juices of love.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's, and again, if we go to biology, biology and science can explain in a really beautiful way as well, or embryology. But my explanation is more like I'm more into energies, and it's just imagine, and it doesn't need to be. I think there's a confusion of being this perfect mom while being this honest mama. It's a different thing, because an honest mama is going to recognize when she's wrong, when she maybe sometimes she's in fear. She's going to name it. She's going to be able to explain to the partner, to the baby. He's like, hey, baby, this is not yours. It's just I'm feeling overwhelmed.
By naming it, the child also get these words with him.
Yeah, of course.
And it sucks in all this attitude that she's got of self-love, and he can have this self-love from himself, which is a gift in our society, this self-confidence.
Yeah, and that's why we are reshaping. So this is like a planetary revolution and responsibility, because we are reshaping the next generations as well. That's how important we are.
Hmm.
Right? So I think, yeah. And it's inspiring. It's not, I mean, it's complicated. It can be, but it's fun. It can be so much fun to discover who we are.
We can decide to take it the fun way, right? We can decide to make it like a piece of joy and wanting to share, to uplift the spiral and not to bring it down. So
totally love.
Can you talk us a little bit more about the tool? We'll put the link in the podcast, of course.
Okay. So the first European tour was in 2019. And it was a success. We were in, I think, 8 countries in Europe.
Wow.
Including a few places in Spain. And this year, what it's really exciting as well is that not only Ramiro is coming, but also his mother, which is an indigenous authority inside Mujeres Bechue, the Abuela Naco. And she has learned, you know, it's like learning straight from the source of wisdom, as well as Ramiro, because also Ramiro started like attending births by himself at the age of 15.
Wow.
So, so that's really inspiring. And also she has a lovely video. And one of the Colombian TV channels that would be nice to share as well, because it's beautiful.
Amazing.
And so the plan is that they come in this year, mid-September, and we will be landing in France, hopefully beginning of November. And well, we come with so many amazing workshops to offer, including womb care, massages during pregnancy, ceremonies, the ceremony of the placenta, ceremony of, like cleansing a purge that grandma, the Abuela Naco will be doing. We bring also special workshops for midwives and parteras, to learn more about premature babies and premature births, hemorrhage, all these, and also for the general public, we could say. It will be more about, as I said, womb care, and also how we, ways of preventing, is a nurturing of our breasts, of our boobs, right? And how we can prevent and look after them and honor them. And also the usage of the chumbe, of the you know, this traditional fabric that is weaved by indigenous people, that they use to keep the womb warm and the kidneys to for the sexual and sexual health. So there will be a variety of topics, I hope. And we are so far 9 organizers in Spain. We will be doing it in France and Italy, hopefully the Netherlands. And the plan is to, well, to really bring the seed of knowledge from those lands, because they, as they say as well, they don't own the truth. They just have some things to share. And something that is really inspiring about Mujeres Bachué is how they weave this concept of, they say, we share the 4 mochilas, or like, of knowledge. Our aim is to combine them all, so a woman can find pleasure in the decision making. So those mochilas are the traditional medicinal knowledge from indigenous people, the conventional medicine, the science of law, and midwifery, and you know, and the art of nurturing and reclaiming the lost art of caring for women, really. So it's we're starting to launch it in a few weeks, as I say, and we hope that we can make it under this crazy world now that everything is so uncertain. But if it's the right time for this seed to manifest and to flourish, we're just so willing to make it happen.
And therefore it will happen.
I believe it. And you will be there maybe in one of the workshops.
Absolutely, we'll be there. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Magali.
Being with us today.
It's an honor. It was an honor to be here. Yeah, for me, it's so nice and peaceful to talk to you.
Thank you.
Many blessings on your day.
The episode is now finished. I really hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is here for you. Please contact me to give feedback, suggestions, and themes that you would like that we discuss. You can find out all the information from my guests and my contacts in the text underneath the episode. I believe that it is together that we go further. So please help me to connect with a maximum of pregnant couples to support them in their enlightened choices. Go on Apple Podcasts, find the podcast Authentic Birth, scroll down to the bottom of the page and find the section Ratings and Reviews. Click on the number of stars that you would like to give to support the podcast. 5 is the best to diffuse the message further. Looking forward to seeing you on the next episode. And in the meantime, look after yourself. Each birth is unique. May yours be truly authentic.